Well, it is SEC Media Days week on the Jacob Bunn Show. Welcome in. Just drove over from SEC Media Days, where it is utter pandemonium. Coaches such as Urban Meyer, Nick Saban making their appearance today. Of course, by the time you listen to this, it may not be today. It may not be Wednesday. It may be later on in the week or next week. But Nick Saban made his appearance earlier today about 1 o'clock. It was televised live on ESPNU, and we're going to get into some of the things he addressed here in a moment. Urban Meyer is scheduled to be making his appearance right about now, maybe a few minutes ago. They will both be visiting with other members of the various media outlets later on throughout the day. I know that Dan Mullen was there today as well, and the fourth team for the day, I'm not sure who the fourth team.
Joker Phillips and the Kentucky Wildcats.
Kentucky Wildcats. So I'm sure as when I got off the elevator and went into SEC Media Days and saw the throng of fans standing there, I'm sure they had to be there for Mullen and Phillips to give them support, especially Joker Phillips being his first year. Wouldn't you say, David?
He's undefeated. He's going to be the best coach in the SEC right now. He is winless and undefeated at the same time.
All right, well, we're going to get into the story that broke yesterday afternoon. Ivan Maisel and Mark Schlabaugh of ESPN wrote on ESPN.com that University of Alabama officials are investigating whether junior defensive lineman Marcell Dareus broke NCAA rules by attending a party in Miami's South Beach earlier this summer. Dareus, who is currently ranked as the number 7 prospect for the 2011 NFL draft by ESPN's Mel Kiper, is the latest prominent college football player to be entangled in an evolving NCAA investigation into illegal contact and conduct by sports agents. A couple days ago, Marquise Pouncey of Florida was also reported to have taken $100,000 from an agent. So the NCAA is really going after these athletes hard right now.
Rumored up to 45 possible college football players out there, but The NCAA is going to have their hands full with this investigation for quite a while.
Nick Saban addressed the agent problem and really took a hard stance, obviously, against what the agents are doing, but saying that if the agents don't clean up their act and the unscrupulous activity doesn't cease, he and some others are going to take action against them as a whole and basically shut them out of what they are doing now or try to enforce some kind of penalty against them. He equated agents, and I'm quoting here, he equated agents, he said agents are no different than pimps in his press conference.
That's true. He has a pimp that's pimping him out with Jimmy Sexton. And, I mean, it's a shame. There are some good agents who actually legitimately do everything by the book, do by the rules, don't commit NCAA violations. And then you get these guys that want to make a name for themselves, so they're going to go and send their middlemen, their handlers, their runners to try to get these guys to go ahead and agree with them, so that way they'll have a marquee player coming out of college, they'll be able to make the big deal, get the big client, and then continue to build their base as an agent. And for those guys, it's just not right, and it's a shame that it happens so often. Happened to Alabama December 2008 with Andre Smith, and then now it may have possibly happened with Marcell Dareus. It's the wild, wild west. There really is no law and order. There are state laws like Florida and Alabama have on the books, but I don't think I've ever seen it actually enforced.
The fortunate thing for Alabama is, as opposed to the Marquise Pouncey situation at Florida, they are possibly going to have to to vacate the win over Cincinnati in the Sugar Bowl, in which they beat them by about 3,000 points. Alabama's not going to have to forfeit anything because
it didn't happen until this past, May?
Yes. The report is it happened the party occurred Memorial Day weekend, which was ironically a couple weeks after Marcell Dareus' mother died. So some grief by him, and then possibly just trying to get his mind off the unfortunate situation there, went down to South Beach and had a party. Now the question is, did the agent pay for his trip down there? If the agent didn't pay, if a friend of his, or you know, he somehow found the money to pay, which most college individuals in general do not have the money to pay for a trip to South Beach. But if he did, then there is nothing done that needs to be investigated. If, however, the agent in any way gave him anything, then there's a good chance Marcell Dareus could be sitting out a number of games this coming up season.
And I think it is hilarious that the way the NCAA found out about this is Marvin Alston tweeting about the whole incident.
Well, that shows you the power of social networking today.
And it also shows you really need to be careful what you put up there.
Absolutely.
The speculation I had from one of my sources is that Dareus was paid for by Alston. Now, I don't know how that would work out, seeing that Alston supposedly received the money from the agent.
Really?
But if he received it from one of his friends, and Alston is a friend because his mother, Marcell Dareus' mother, really wanted him to go to the University of North Carolina, mm-hmm. and they were friends. So I don't know how that would work out, if he would have to repay Alston, or if he paid his own way, like I'm saying we as an Alabama fan, but as a bunch of Alabama fans are hoping.
If Alston took the money from the agent and then it passed on to Dareus to fund Dareus' trip, I would assume that the rate the NCAA is going right now, they're probably going to not stop at anything. Now, there was a report out this afternoon by Tidesports.com, the Tuscaloosa News site, that Marcell Dareus had been declared ineligible to play right now. Well, that was, as you said, refuted by Saban. Pat Dooley tweeted almost instantly after the story was published that Saban said, off camera, just said, somewhere, somehow at Media Days, that was untrue, and that's probably premature at this point.
I will say, as organized as Saban is, as much as he dots his I's and crosses his T's, I bet he is on top of this situation.
Absolutely.
And I bet he knows more than the media does right now, because the compliance department has really shaped up under Saban. He was the one that broke the textbook thing. It was his people that found out about it. And his first year that had been going on for several years under Shula, possibly even further back than that, but they could only trace it to when they had implemented the new system there. But I'm just saying, this guy is on top of stuff. I don't doubt him knowing what's going on and probably the outcome of this all. Now, this may be another Jarrell Harris, where Jarrell Harris ends up spending for what, half the season?
Right. Or I think it until the South Carolina game.
Yeah. So that was roughly half a season he was gone, because they couldn't play him because he wasn't ruled ineligible, but they couldn't risk anything either. So he was basically just in purgatory, where they had to wait for the NCAA to rule. And once they made their ruling, he paid back the guy that gave him the laptop, and then he started playing again.
Well, you had the situation in 2007. Of course, the textbook gate, as it was referred to, of course, they had to vacate the wins. They had to vacate all but two victories that year until after, of course, they found out about it and then took the necessary measures and suspended the necessary players. In this case, there wasn't anything to vacate, because, as we said a few minutes ago, there has been nothing played. This is after the season, and this just happened a month and a half ago.
You have to wonder, though, is this actually a blessing in disguise? Because what if Alabama had this break while they're in the middle of another undefeated run?
Yes.
They would have had to vacate all these victories. It's a rough thing, but it's better to find out now than in October.
Well, I even wonder about this. If Marcell Dareus is suspended for half the season, and what if he decides that he can make a better go of it in the NFL draft if he waits another year? Is this a ploy by Saban, calling up the agent, telling him to hold the party and get him down there to get him back for another
year? I doubt that, because there's no new collective bargaining agreement worked out yet. So there's a good chance.
No doubt, Saban.
There's a good chance a lot of the juniors this year will not declare as they wait to find out what the collective bargaining agreement situation is, because it's better to stay in college and play another year than to wait, declare, and not be getting paid to do anything but sit on your butt.
I think it's also worth pointing out, I just said a few minutes ago that Mel Kiper has him seventh in the NFL draft right now, his prediction. It's also worth pointing out, Marcel Darius has never started a game at the University of Alabama. He has always come in relief, and obviously he would have been a starter this season. But if he's projected number 7 without ever starting a game, then that says something right there. He sure made an impact last season in some games. Would he have been a good starter, though? We don't know. I mean, we don't know how he would have been starting and playing the entire game in that role.
I am looking forward to it. You know what media days means. Practice is about to start.
It's here. I mean, it's basically here, and that's what's so great about media days. If you want to watch media days, you can watch it on ESPNU. You can watch each coach's press conference. And I want to go back to Nick Saban's press conference. He's the only one I've had a chance to really comprehensively look at. And in watching his press conference, he seems, talking about this Darius, and of course, a limited comment on the situation from him, as you expect. I mean, he's not going to go out and tell everything he knows. And as you said a few minutes ago, he most definitely knows much more than we do. But he seems just totally fed up with the agents and the process by which agents with players before they are eligible for this kind of thing. And should there be a penalty? What kind of penalty could there possibly be enforced? I mean, what is enforceable? And Saban, I think Saban said something like a 2-year license suspension. But I think the main, and I think he said this, the main thing that's going to get attention is money. I mean, if you start fining these agents or cutting their pay or somehow impacting them in terms of economics, then...
Do you agree that the NFL needs to cooperate with the NCAA on this to
Yes.
help police this better?
I do. And I think if Mike Slive and Nick Saban and several others get involved, that will get done very quickly because I think they have that power.
It's a murky area due to constitutional. You're not allowed to prohibit someone from earning a living.
Right.
But if it became a federal law and then they were able to enforce it as a federal law, then it would get something. They need to work with Congress on making it that way to protect amateur athletics. Because remember, back in the early 30s and 40s, until J. Edgar Hoover came around, if you were to kidnap somebody, take them across state lines, that the state from which you kidnapped them from could do nothing because they had no jurisdiction in the other state. But until they made that a federal offense, then the FBI could get involved and go across state lines. So they need to do probably something along those lines, making a federal law against agents, not just individual states like Florida, Alabama. I don't know if Georgia has one on the books, but I bet they're working on it if they don't.
Right.
They need to do something along those lines. So they need to work with Congress, and they need to work with the FBI in getting this passed.
I agree. For the latest on the Marcel Darius situation, of course, you can always keep it at the front page of bunsports.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, as I will be tweeting from SEC Media Days throughout the remainder of the week. Not that I will be sitting down having any conversations with Nick Saban about this, but you never know what you might pick up at Media Days. Had a chance to talk with Ivan Maisel this morning about this story and breaking it. And, I mean, we don't know the full extent of this at this point. This particular story, this particular party. But as you said, what was the number you said about people? How many people were there?
Supposedly between 40 and 45.
And I think Mark Schlabaugh indicated earlier that there is another SEC school.
I think this thing's going to be really reaching. It'll go into a bunch of different schools. I don't think it'll just be the Carolina and Alabama. I would not be surprised if there's Texas schools involved, if there's Florida schools involved. I think this thing is a vast reaching thing, and schools need to get on top of this. Otherwise, we may have another USC ineligible player declared.
Well, the NCAA is really going after it right now. I think more than they have.
The NCAA has to, because for too long they've been a joke. And then recently they've started enforcing stuff. They dropped the hammer on USC, and I think they're now going to just continue dropping the hammer on people.
But this is... You're right, and this is not about Alabama. It's not about Florida. The Pouncey situation is not about North Carolina, and it's not about South Carolina. You're right. You're absolutely right. It's about agents in general.
There's so many good agents out there that just have their name besmirched mm-hmm. by all these other agents. And I just think it's about time that we get this thing taken care of. It's been going on for basically as long as it's been illegal to pay players. I mean, Bama went through it after the 93 Sugar Bowl.
Sure did.
George Teague in a state of intoxication – not George Teague. Antonio Langham in a state of intoxication signed with an agent on a paper napkin. And then
– I really don't want to see this happen, especially to the two top teams in the – SEC, and of course, it's not going to affect the institution, just the individual players. Now, in Florida's case, it will affect the institution if they have to, in fact,
vacate the Cincinnati win.
But I really don't want to see this happen to the SEC.
Did you know who Marcell Dareus was last year?
You have heard of him.
He was a highly touted recruit, but you hadn't seen what he would do on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
Bama, for the first time in a long time, has quality depth.
Yeah, you're right. And Saban's good. Saban's the best I've seen at taking players unknown and a year to year making them known out of nowhere. We didn't know who Mark Barron was. We didn't know who
Mark Ingram was.
Mark Ingram, well, a great example. And
came in his freshman year, lit it up behind Glenn Coffey. Then last year has his coming out party against South Carolina where he had, 72 yards on that drive that basically sealed the game for him. And
he ran
the wildcat basically the entire way down the field, and he just ran it.
He did. He played all 11 positions on that one drive. It was really amazing to watch. And it's what won the game for him. Even though Alabama won that game pretty easily, that it won the game for him. Well, switching gears from that, other news coming out of Media Day, certain times have been – set for certain games in the SEC. I have Alabama's schedule, and this is somewhat tentative, in front of me. The San Jose State game will be on at 6 o'clock on pay-per-view. Penn State will be 6 o'clock. These are central times. 6 o'clock on ESPN. Duke will be 2:30 on ABC. Arkansas is projected to be 2:30 on CBS. Florida has been set for a primetime 7 o'clock start on CBS. South Carolina to be determined. Ole Miss projected to be 2:30 CBS. The same goes for Tennessee. The same goes for LSU. Mississippi State and Georgia State. Well, Mississippi State is to be determined. Georgia State is likely to be at 6:30 on ESPNU. And then the Auburn game is going to be 1:30 on CBS. So there's a potential. I'm not going to throw Mississippi State. There's no way that game's going to be on CBS. But there's a potential for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. If South Carolina is on CBS, 7 Alabama broadcasts this year on the Columbia Broadcasting System. That's I don't know if that's a record. Probably tied for the record. That's Alabama. You might want to just keep it on CBS if you're an Alabama fan this season.
That's just more power to Saban. That's going to be a ton of recruiting advantages. Hey, you come here, we'll put you on national TV.
The Penn State game, Duke, Penn State, Duke, San Jose State, Florida games have all been officially announced. The others are tentative. Auburn at 1:30 on CBS has also been officially announced, and I think that's just an awful time for the Iron Bowl. The Iron Bowl, a game that has so much influence
this could
each
be,
year.
This could be a potential undefeated versus undefeated matchup.
I think it could be. And to have it, in my opinion, at 1:30 in the afternoon.
On Black Friday.
The day after Thanksgiving Day, when nobody is half awake at that time, at least I never am.
Still fighting off the tryptophan.
I mean, turkey stays with you. But, no, to have it that early in the day, I don't really know what CBS is thinking here. I know that's always been the LSU-Arkansas slot, and they just put Alabama and Auburn in that slot. But I think it would work out to CBS's advantage to have this game later on in the day, in the afternoon, possibly even at night, if they're going to play it, you know, on Friday, at least put it later on in the day.
I'd like to see that as a primetime game, 7 o'clock Friday night football game. That will get you a huge audience.
A lot bigger than 1:30. I agree.
That would give a lot of people time to get their shopping done, go home. There's a great college football game on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, It's just something you got to deal with. This is the last year of this Friday Iron Bowl. We'll see if they keep it. I know Saban is against it. I think Auburn's Gene Chizik was also against it.
Well, Saban moved the Georgia State game to Thursday night because of the lack of time to prepare for this game. Last year, it was thought by a lot of people to have a major impact on the way Alabama played in the game, that they did not have the full week to prepare, and that matters. I mean, you played, you know, it matters if you have that extra, if you get out of routine, if you don't have the exact same
routine,
amount of time.
You need that routine during mm-hmm. season. My freshman year was 2001, and 9/11 happened, so we have to make up the Southern Miss game, and we have that huge emotional victory where we destroy Auburn down on the plains. Then we have to refocus, get ourselves ready to play Southern Miss on a Thursday night so we can go to a bowl game. And it was just one of those weird situations. I mean, we played the game Saturday. Then we have the preparation for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, we have walkthrough. Thursday, we all miss class, drive down to Legion Field and play a game in the sleet, basically. And attendance was affected. It was just not the same atmosphere. The student section was barren because mm-hmm. no one wanted to drive down and sit in the cold to see us play Southern Miss.
Well, whether or not it's a good situation, it is the situation. And I assume that most people in Alabama will go ahead and tune in anyway, even though it's
played, you think?
It played at 1:30 in the afternoon. I imagine that will be the case. As you said, it could be one of the best. I mean, not one of the best. It could be the best. As far as record Iron Bowl ever. But it also, you never know. Alabama could come in with 3 losses. Auburn could come in with 5. I mean, teams can always not live up to expectations. But I don't know. With the way Saban and Chizik are going in this state right now, you have to think that, you know, Alabama will be competing for a national championship, and Auburn could be in the mix for the SEC championship as well. It'll be interesting to see Auburn. Is going to be up at Media Days on Friday. We really don't know what to expect from Auburn this year. A lot of people think they probably will be better, but you never know. This is just coming over the wire right now that Urban Meyer said, in talking about the agent issue, he said it has reached an epidemic and something has to be done. Apparently Urban Meyer was, along with Saban, very adamant against this. And I think this is going to be a recurring theme throughout Media Days the rest of the weekend. We're going to hear a lot more about this agent talk and what needs to be done, what can be done. You're going to hear from law officials who will lay out what can be done about it. Nick Saban speaking very harshly about it earlier today. A lot of people thought he would. And the reaction around the country so far, from what I've heard from ESPN and other media entities, and just being there on press row and listening to what was said, I think the reaction is positive toward Nick Saban, that he did the right thing by going after this so hard in his press conference today. And I am not able to listen to Urban Meyer right now. He's at the podium, but I assume Urban is taking the same stance. This is SEC Media Days weekend. We will have another edition of the Jacob Bunn Show next week. If you are able to, if you're in Birmingham, drop by Media Days. It's at the Winfrey Hotel at the River Chase Galleria. A lot of fan activity. I believe I saw some tailgating when I was walking in. I think I saw tailgating going on in the parking lot.
Wouldn't doubt it. It's just another excuse to tailgate, man. You got to get your preparations on. Got to get that dry rub straightened out. The sauce is ready. So
it was good too. I stopped by and had a.
You got your little pulled pork.
Absolutely. Can never pass up a good opportunity for free food. Well, David Sears for Jacob Bunn here on the Jacob Bunn Show. We will be back with you next week. Again, SEC Media Days all week. Stay tuned to bunsports.com because, as we have seen throughout the last couple weeks, you never know when stories may break. All of those stories, by the way, that we mentioned, the links to the actual broken stories are on the website. And they're also on my Twitter page, I believe. So you can look those up. Thank you, and we'll be back again next week.